Welcome back to the Take Flight Podcast with John Melton, where we discuss travel, teaching English abroad, and maximizing your income. For those of you new to the podcast, I'm John Melton. I'm an English major. I'm a world traveler. I've taught English abroad, and I'm here to show you all of my tips and tricks. So welcome on board, and let's get this show rolling. Welcome back, wherever you are out there. John Melton, back with the Take Flight Podcast. Hope everybody's doing well wherever you are, and we're going to dive into another episode. So what I want to discuss today is the trap in the ESL teaching world. Now, I'm always trying to give you the best tips and tricks and advice that I can, but it wouldn't be fair if I didn't go over the pitfalls as well. So whenever you decide that you want to travel abroad and teach English, it all starts with the individual. The individual has to know what they want to accomplish with this trip. Most ESL teachers have the plan to just go willy-nilly for a bit. They look at it as a way to remain lazy, get their house paid for, do little work as possible, and get paid some money. You will find that. Most of those people, I would probably tell you to find something else, and not to mention quit being lazy. Pursue something with a sense of responsibility, right? Take charge of your life. Now, what you'll hear, though, is when you tell people this is, well, what about your pension plans or 401k or, workers' comp? I mean, anything like that, insurance, any type of benefits. And you must realize that that's the risk that you take. When you travel overseas, even though you are an expert of the English language, they are looking at you as a temp. And this is especially in Asia. Their businesses or teaching centers aren't always in a high school or middle school, and they're looking to make a profit. So like any business, to make a profit, they buy low, sell high, and try to pay their employees as little as they can get away with. Now, that's the key, get away with. You will get what you feel you deserve. But the trick, well, it's not even a trick. Most people just never mature in a way that they can ask for it or negotiate for it. So contracts matter. So when the individual decides to travel and teach abroad, it's on them to plan ahead. When you're in the ESL world, that you're in the game of planning ahead. You never know when your employment may end, when you may have visa problems, when you may have problems back home, when you relocate. There's a plethora of issues that may pop up. You want to be prepared. You know, there's people that are let go from jobs or something and have maybe $500 to their name. Can be SOL, out of luck. You don't want that to be you. So when you go, you need to have a plan. You need to have a plan of how long you're going to be there, what you're going to take from it. Say if you do plan on teaching back in the States, then yeah, it's going to help you out. But say you have other aspirations. Then you need to plan your money that way and invest your money that way. And know that, as you get older, you're not going to have that 401k safety net. You're not going to have insurance and stuff. And a lot of times people will say, if you take on the role of being an American ESL teacher abroad, you're on a futile path because, you're not going to have anything at the end of it. And it's true. For a majority of people. And that's because they have the mindset that I mentioned beforehand of being lazy and doing as little work as possible and just skating by, never having enough to save, never having enough for abundance. So it's worth planning. And, you know, people may say, well, isn't it about the children? Don't you care about the children? Yeah, you do care about the children. But if you have too much of a bleeding heart, you're going to be the one bleeding out. You're going to be the one left, you know, out of luck, because they will take advantage of it. Not even taking advantage of it. They're just taking what you give them. And you're not going to have much left over at the end of it. So it's something to be aware of before you ever step into the situation. And if you are stepping into a situation that's less than ideal, which majority will, you need to be having your eye out for opportunities to step up. Now, since we're on the topic of negative things, we might as well carry that on into the next section. So, I'll give you the 5 riskiest contracts that you can take teaching abroad. Number 5, which will start from least worst to worst. Number 5, when you do your research on a company and you see bad reviews, I mean, that's kind of obvious, right? You should have your feelers out and be alarmed about that. I say this because not everybody knows that they can usually look up the school and find reviews, either from teachers or students posting something about the school or some sort of literature on the school. Number 4 would be if the country or the school had a runner. I've been a runner. A runner is when somebody breaks off before their contract's over, leaves in the middle of the night. Now, usually when people do this, they don't just get a wild hair, or they don't, it's not always just because they want to go home. There's usually something that set them off. There's usually something that made them feel insecure enough to want to spend money and go back home and not get a flight reimbursement and leave a job. So when you are talking and corresponding with the school or past teachers, ask, you know, who am I replacing? And why did they leave? Did they finish their contract? I mean, don't come right out and say, did they take off? You know, did they leave or did they run? Just, you know, kind of find your way to slip it in there. Number 3. Don't go anywhere that has a volatile currency. We can take a look at Venezuela, for example. You would want to make sure you're getting paid in a real currency, like dollars, because the inflation and the volatility of the value of their currency sways up and down. And it's crazy. And you don't want to get paid, you know, 50,000 of their currency, and then all of a sudden you find out it's worth way less, you know, a couple days later. The next would be Africa. Is it because of war or xenophobia or poverty or anything? It's none of these things. It's actually the tiniest of all of the problems, but it comes in position number 2, and it's mosquitoes. When going to Africa, you usually have to take anti-malarial drugs or prophylactic antibiotics. Those can give you a condition in your stomach called C. diff. It's where not only the bad bacteria is killed off, but the good bacteria is killed off also. And it's like pretty much explosive diarrhea. So you don't want that. That's a risky contract. Everything else can be great, but you're still going to have to face that part. So I guess it's trade-offs. Is it worth it? Is it not? And number one is obviously the war zone contracts. That's if you're teaching in any government sector, oil and gas, you know, obviously the Middle East. If you took a contract in Iraq or Afghanistan or the likes, you know. And once again, it's a risk reward. You may make $170,000 a year, but you need to consider the location. These are the top 5 riskiest contracts. So, I got a question the other day, and they asked, is the golden age of teaching English abroad over in China? There was a time between 2009 and 2015 when China was, it was like the wild, wild east. A lot of fun and hustle and bustle. And yeah, there were a few restrictions, but the internet lockdown and the censorship and the surveillance wasn't to the level that it is now. But I believe that the golden age in China for teaching English is yet to come. Once the pandemic has settled down, I think the demand will be even greater. Disagree or not, I'm not staking my claim, but the presidential change will probably bring change. A lot of countries are still traveling to China, including Americans. It's just an odd time. I will say an emerging place that is a lot like the old Wild East of China is Taiwan, where you still get that same feel of traditional China with a newness kind of mixed in. You know, a lot of the old hasn't been demolished and replaced by the new. So Taiwan is another really good place to consider. And the restrictions aren't the same as in China, so that's a bit more lax as well. I want to thank you all again for tuning in to the season finale of Take Flight Teaching Podcast, the finale of season 1. Please reach out to us more and ask some questions. We'd be glad to answer. The best place is on Instagram at takeflight_podcast. Wherever you are out in the world, stay safe, stay motivated. John Melton, signing out.